thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the... What are you doing? You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally.
Protesting.
You protesting what?
I'm protesting you, because you done turned into like the ultimate troll in every event. Every form of life, I'm protesting the media. That's the prior discussion, and then I'm going to still stand up for our rights. All of the above. Roger Goodell is trying to keep his job. I'm sick of all this stuff.
Politics. Dude, I don't... I'm, like, you're protesting me.
Dude, how do you protest? You're a troll. You're the ultimate troll. If I get one more picture, you sitting at a desk, I'm going to throw something.
Anyway, you listen to Urban Sports Scene, myself, Wally, Will T. Ray. But I'm holding it now back to the top. I'm a troll, though. How am I a troll? Because I post pictures?
No, you send an annoying ass
picture. You send annoying pictures. You
know what?
Your team has
look, you know what? Post you make it worse, though. You make it. You all make it worse. Am I saying it's annoying? I'm just going to do even more. Like, you made the situation worse. You should just say
it. It worse. You're making it worse. No, you're exacerbating the situation.
I think it's freaking amazing.
I want you to post a picture on our...
I do it all the time. I do that picture. I post everywhere. I post it everywhere.
You do?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That picture's annoying.
I hate that picture. You do? You want to get tested again.
No, but you hate on the Nationals for what?
I don't hate on the Nationals.
Yes, you do.
I don't. I want the Nationals to go far.
I don't think you
no,
do.
You're
just
being contrarian to what... Myself and Ray.
Yeah, because I just can't wait.
Rooting for the team that we
I just can't. Look, I'm just in a win-win situation. That's how I look at it. I'm in a win-win situation. I want this team to go to the World Series and win a championship. But on the flip side, if they do lose, especially if they lose to the Dodgers,
right. You can't be hot or cold.
Look, I can because this is my truth. I know my truth. You can't take away my truth.
That's
all. Hey, Will T.
Before we get into our tradition.
Okay, you got something you want to say?
Absolutely.
Right, go ahead,
I
bro.
Have something that I want to say. Jemele Hill was recently suspended for 2 weeks.
Oh, wait, that's a topic. No, it's a topic on the show, right?
Yeah, but I just want to get to this
off
right
the bat?
Now.
Okay.
Off the bat.
I got you.
Bat.
I got you,
she
bro.
Was recently suspended by ESPN for 2 weeks because she suggested that we as consumers boycott.
She suggested
we as consumers boycott some of the Dallas Cowboys sponsors. And if you don't know why she's calling for it, she called for a boycott of the Dallas Cowboys sponsors. It's because Jerry Jones has explicitly said that he will suspend and prevent players from playing if they join in any protests.
Yeah.
Of the national anthem, in which he considers detrimental and disrespectful to the flag. So. To keep Sister Jemele Hill's message going, where was it? Some of the sponsors she suggested boycotting
this
were.
On, this could be on the top in the segment, but I can't let. I'm gonna let him get it all out.
No, Bank of America.
Go ahead, dude. You know what I'm saying? Anarchy, right?
Anarchy. Absolutely. We're AT&T.
Okay.
Bank of America.
Cool.
Dr. Pepper, Snapple Group.
All right.
Ford Motor, Miller's Coors, and Pepsi Company.
I can't boycott Bank of America. I'm sorry.
I know they're my bank.
I don't.
Unfortunately.
Well, I do credit unions anyway. So.
I have credit union.
I can't boycott Bank of America.
You can.
Everybody else.
You can and you will.
Look, man.
Well, you won't be on this show anymore. How about that? I'm just joking. Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
All right. He has
a muscle shirt on the way. By the way, can I post you in that?
No, you cannot.
Go ahead, man. Here are our topics. The Redskins' upcoming game against the San Francisco 49ers at 8:20. We'll examine the Washington Nationals' NLDS matchup with the Chicago Cubs. At 8:30, we'll make our Week 6 NFL picks. At 8:40, we're going to talk about Jemele Hill being suspended by ESPN.
The revolution will not be televised.
And finally, at 8:50, we'll get to pick up from what we tried to do last week with the FBI's probe of the NCAA basketball team. So
pay them players.
The NCAA basketball teams?
Teams. I said teams. Oh, plural.
I'm sorry. Is my mic working? Doesn't it sound low?
It does.
I don't even have a headphone.
I think I'm about to protest, man. I'm telling you something. There we go.
You feeling better?
See?
You're all right. Sometimes you're super loud, though. You can't tell.
Oh, yeah. Really? Well, I try to.
I know. You're okay. That's why I looked out for you. That's why I had it low. Yeah, I got your back, bro.
This was purposeful.
No, it wasn't. Maybe. I don't know. You're annoying. Just like my picture.
I'm annoying. You can't let the past go.
Before we get into the Redskins, I want to talk about this fantasy football thing. This dude texted me, was like, all right, No, like I hope it gets to Monday night because does things. Hold on. Ray likes to put his players like his prime time. If it's a player on Monday night that can put up points, like it could be either way. Ray likes to play him on Monday night, so people like me can sweat it out, right? So I have to wait till Monday night to a point to say, okay, all right, this dude can beat me, or I had to sweat it out. So Ray texts me this. I'm like, I ain't sweating you, dude. I got this.
Tell the whole story.
What part of the story?
I text him, hey, man, we playing fantasy this week. He said, oh, I feel sorry for you.
Oh, yeah, and that part. Like, I forgot. I admitted that part.
I don't know about your team, but mine puts up points. And it was just all these times. I'm like, I didn't even say anything.
I did omit that
Meanwhile,
part.
Meanwhile, you know, I hadn't even lost to this point. I don't care. It's just fantasy football. You know how I am about fantasy football.
Yeah, we joking around. Nobody really cares.
Nah, I don't. But, yeah, he just, like, came with all these arrogant text messages. I was like, hold up.
Who won, though?
Yeah, you did win.
Okay, so
your team won. I like your team. I was in a bad position in the draft because when you draft like third or fourth, everybody who drafts after you gets to draft twice before you get to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Leonard Fournette was stolen by this guy from me, and yeah,
stolen. I like to say I'm savvy.
He was the reason why I lost because Wally had like two or three players that put up donuts.
He's right.
Which should tell you, you know,
I had 100. I had over 100 points.
Players with bye weeks. It's a whole lot.
Look. Know what it sounds like? A bunch of excuses. Wally won.
The Giants Wally, stink, by the way.
Wally won by like 20.
Phillip Rivers, who throws picks there, he threw me a pick. He
got me a touchdown. He got me about 3 touchdowns and a victory.
Phillip Rivers. Good old Phillip Rivers.
Good old Phillip Rivers.
There are two types of fantasy teams that start off hot. They're those that are sustainable, and those are going to flame out.
And so we'll see what yours is. And my team's sustainable.
And we'll see what mine is, too.
It's just like two types of people that make picks on NFL. Some of us start slow, all right, heat up. Some of us start hot. And then cool down.
We'll see. I didn't start hot. I'm just been lukewarm the whole time.
My man. Anyway, but on Sunday, the Redskins are playing the Niners. Could this be a trap game for the Washington Redskins? The Niners haven't won a football game. The Redskins are 2-2. And the Niners have been in every game, almost every game.
Trap game? What do you mean by a trap game?
Like, you know, not taking this team seriously because, you know, this Niners team is almost has
I think the fan base isn't taking them seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're forgetting that you have a head coach with an axe to grind against this organization.
That's true. Exactly.
Who's going to come in extra motivated and who wants to see Washington go down.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more than any other opponent just because of the way him and his father were handled on the way out.
Yeah, but he can't really control the fate of this game. The person I'm worried about is Pierre Garçon. He knows offense in and out. He's going to help his defense prepare throughout the course of the week. So it will be a good game. But the Niners they don't have the talent right now to me to compete. The Redskins, through the first four games they've played, show that on defense, they're a much improved team.
Yeah, but they're not going to have Josh Norman, though.
Yeah, I know, but as of right now, it looks as though they have more depth on defense. I actually wish Sue Craven was active at this point because of this reason. You know, although I like Swearinger, I like the team in general. But are you going to be tested? Sure, because, again, you have a player who knows your offense. But does the 49ers have the talent level to match the Redskins right now? No.
Well, I think anything that we've seen over the past 5 weeks, we know that anything can happen.
Agreed.
Week to week. Like I said,
that's a good point.
From the beginning of the season, yeah. NFL is a week-to-week season.
Hence your picks, right?
Hence my picks. That's why I'm so much ahead of you guys. But anyway, that's
you're three. Never. I'm not getting into this.
That's
part.
A topic
not
for
now.
Another time. That's a topic for another time. But no, anything
we'll
can
talk
happen
about later. Week to week.
I think that's why the fan base should be on upset alert come Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. If the 49ers were to win, we shouldn't be shocked based on what you're saying. However, another subject that necessarily doesn't relate, but then again it does, is Colin Kaepernick is not signed. And did you see last night's game with the Bears? And then look at the 49ers. You don't think you could have used him Sunday against the Colts?
Look at the Tennessee Titans.
That's the Titans, definitely. Like, Matt Castle's the quarterback, right?
Matt Castle's
the joke.
No, he's a backup, though, of course, because Mariota's hurt right now.
Yeah.
But I think the 49ers should really take a look at re-signing Cap. Come on now. You have Kyle Shanahan, who has been known.
You know, that's a good fit.
It's a good fit. I think it's a good fit, but I think he feels burnt by the other time that it happened,
mm-hmm,
when he had a quarterback who he had to kind of shape the offense.
RG3?
Yeah, who he had to shape the offense around. It did work. But then again, there's a lot of footage on it, mm-hmm, so it won't catch anyone by surprise.
But a lot of teams nowadays, it looks like they're doing more like read option to a certain extent. Now it's not as thorough as what RG3 was doing in 2012.
Who was that?
But I don't want to take this off topic, but my point is the quarterback play right now for the San Francisco 49ers is a glaring weakness. And again, with the Redskins' improved defense, this is something you got to exploit, attack. You need to blitz and blitz often.
Well, yeah, I'll say this. If you do blitz often, Brian Hoyer is great pre-snap and getting the ball out. Yeah, he has a very quick release.
He's not quick.
He gets the ball out quickly.
Yeah, he does. But if you look for the Redskins, you know, what's been a blessing for their defense, they haven't had to blitz. Like, they've gotten pressure with their front four. So that's a good thing.
Well, that's true, too. Now, listen, if you don't blitz often, still, do you stack the box? Do you do something to say,
yeah, to me, you take away, you try to take away Carlos Hyde. Because right, exactly. Carlos Hyde is, like, their best offensive player. And you force Hoyer
to beat you, right?
Huh? Yeah.
When has Brian Hoyer ever been a winner? Come on,
Brian Hoyer is, like, is he starts.
Is he related to the Claussons or something?
To me, he's better than Claussen. Because Brian Hoyer,
there's Jimmy, there's Casey, all of them.
Oh, there, you're right, you're right. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Rick. I'm just saying, to me, Hoyer goes in line with these guys.
He always gets like a couple good games.
I tell you, sometimes, again, I don't understand the rationale of the guys making decisions in this world in general.
Here you go.
Brian Hoyer, J.P. Lossman, the list goes on.
Matt Barkley.
Man, I know, right?
I'm trying to think, who was the 49ers quarterback last year?
Oh, Gabbert.
Blaine freaking Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert.
I think Mel Kiper's bad for the league because all these guys were named as guys he hyped. I'm serious. He's got a big arm. He says the same stuff too.
All the time.
They need to exploit the quarterback position. Sorry.
It's okay. Tangential today. But looking at the relationship with that Kirk Cousins has with Kyle Shanahan, is this like an audition for him? Do you think he has that in mind?
He knows what Kirk Cousins is.
No, he knows what Kirk's able to do. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Well, this is a draft that's supposed to have three or four first round graded quarterbacks. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Says who? Todd McShay or?
But Todd McShay's okay, and Mike Mayock's good.
The only guy I really listen to is Mike.
Mike Mayock, and he said he pretty much keeps it real. Like Mike Mayock said, this draft is deep. Quarterback.
So guys. You know, San Francisco 0-5. Mike Mayock.
What?
Mike Mayock.
He's so quick to always say Mike Mayock.
He is a beast, though. He's great. He's that dude. Sorry, go ahead, Will T, man.
He's projected four or five first round quarterbacks. And San Francisco definitely looks in line. San Francisco definitely looks in line to get one of those early first round picks. So. Who knows? I don't think they'll go after. Maybe they go after Kirk Cousins. Maybe they don't.
Now I want to ask.
I hate you, Ray. I hate you. All right,
Matt Schaub, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Robert Griffin III. This is just four guys that we can point out that Kyle Shanahan has helped to develop. Correct.
Correct.
None of them are. Well, RG3 was a rookie. I take that back. Mm. So maybe he does have the ability. And I say Kirk Cousins. But Kirk Cousins wasn't that good with the Shanahans.
You got to take into consideration, they
drafted C.J. Beathard this past
year. Yeah. Well, you seen him in college?
No, I haven't.
He's not that good. But, you know, but you're saying to a certain extent, but Kirk Cousins always, like, gives the Shanahans credit for his progression. Like, he still calls them, talks to them, and just for advice about playing a position.
Because they liked him better anyway.
They did, exactly.
You know what I mean? So, of course, he's going to be buddy-buddy with them. But to me, his real success has been with Jay Gruden.
Or you would say, some would say McVay.
Well, okay.
Yeah, some would say McVay.
It's not the Shanahans. That's my point. But, yeah, as to your point, he does have a good
relationship
with them. I don't know if that plays a role in this game. Again, I stand by what I said earlier. Pierre Garçon knows your offense. And he's gonna be giving away all the secrets that the Redskins have this week. Although McVay's not there.
Yeah, exactly. McVay. So, they said this, they thought the same thing with McVay, and it didn't change anything in terms of when they played the Rams. Well, McVay probably knew more than Garcon.
That's one of the determining factors in my mind as to why I'm going to pick the Redskins to win this week.
Not because the Niners are 0-5.
Oh. The Niners aren't a good team right now. although you know, defensively, they still have some pieces that. You know, can give the Redskins fits, like a Navarro Bowman.
Yeah, Navarro. I wanted Navarro to be traded to the Washington Redskins to replace Foster.
I just don't think he's going to be the same guy he was earlier in his career before injuries. But again,
still playing solid.
He's still playing solid football. Mm-hmm. Great word.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T. Ray. So back to Pierre Garçon. You're talking about him a lot. You're doing the hand motion with Pierre Garçon right now.
No, Mike Mayock.
with Norman being out, do you see somebody like, do you see Breland shadowing Pierre Garçon? Or should they do what they've been doing?
No, I think they should do what they've been doing. Just maintain. Don't switch up anything now just because Josh Norman's out. Mm-hmm. Continue to have Breland play his side. Then have, I guess, Fabian Moreau's going to get the start.
No, it should be. It would be Quentin Dunbar.
Dunbar's going to get his shot. If Pierre Garçon starts to really beat you,
why you say it like that? What? He's like Quentin Dunbar. Shh.
Nah, I said, Quentin Dunbar is like a hit or miss to me.
He has his moments.
I mean, if Pierre Garçon has his other moments.
Yeah.
If Pierre Garçon can't be stopped if they continue to match Pierre Garçon against Quentin Dunbar, then maybe you start to think about letting Breland shadow Pierre Garçon.
Breland has been balling this year. And Kendall Fuller is much improved.
In the slot, yeah, he's very.
The whole defense is much improved.
Yeah, it is.
That's my defense.
Even with Mason Foster in the lineup.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Mason Foster, I know. Martell Spates has been taking a lot of his snaps, too, at the same time since he's been hurt, too. So
hopefully. No, good. They're building through the draft. I'm totally pleased with the defense. To me, whenever you have a good defense, you're always going to be in the game. You always will have a chance to win. That's why I think they'll beat the 49ers, because you have an offense that has shown flashes of potential greatness, right? Potential.
Potential.
Against the Raiders. We know everybody, including yourself, sir. You have a Raiders hat on, by the way.
Oaktown, which reminds me
of that game.
Yeah, Oaktown.
We're just glowing at how the offense performed and the defense.
Yeah.
Come on now. You have a similar performance against the Niners. It's going to be ugly.
Good performance against Kansas City, even a loss. So, yeah. I think that against the Niners, they should – If they can play to the level they've been playing this whole week, four games, and they can play at that level, defensively speaking, and Kirk Cousins continues to take big steps, because I was proud of the way he played Kansas City, continues to play that way, I think this team should be able to beat the Niners. Now, if they come in this game flat, the Niners will beat this team. This team can't afford to be flat playing against the Niners.
Again, with an improved defense, you'll have a chance. You have a shot. You'll be in the game. To Will's point, and obviously it's been a week-to-week league.
Yeah, that's why Will's up to week-to-week league. If it wasn't a week-to-week league, off their resume, I would probably be up.
No, you had your opportunity. No, I was 5-11.
A play here and a play there, it happens. Again, I actually picked the Niners to beat the Colts this past week, and the game went overtime.
Yeah.
One play made the difference. Same thing with the Cowboys and Packers.
Same thing with the Rams. If Cooper Kupp catches the freaking ball, it's a touchdown, and Seattle loses. But hey, I can't.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It is what it is. But anyway, well, no, predictions first. I'm sorry, I didn't get your predictions for the game.
I am going Washington.
Washington Redskins?
Washington football team. Washington football team.
You?
Same thing.
Going with the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. He believes in picking other teams, so
he can gang ground, and because his team, I believe
superstition. You know,
yeah, superstition. You believe that you have some impact.
I do have power. Look at the hands.
Okay.
Oh, I'm African too. I have voodoo power. Okay. All I need is a doll. All I need is a doll.
What's in your hand? Mike Mayock's.
On that note, the Nats are down 2-1 to the Chicago Cubs. We'll talk about that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
Yeah. and then go. Let's go. Huh? Hold up, you know what it is. Huh? Do it for my city, cause that's where I live. Hey, hey, hold up. Stop hunting. Hey, everybody know that you ain't so high. Welcome to my city, hey, the home of the brothers. Huh? Burger me and go. Huh? Burger me and go. Huh? I put it down for the max on the cap. Burger me and go. Burger me and go. I keep it cheap, like it's supposed to. And I'm around the way. Your pride out. Yeah. Hold up, you know what it is. Do it for my city, cause that's where I live. Hey, hey, hey. Hold up, stop hunting. Hey, hey, know that you ain't so high. Hey. Welcome to my city.
All right, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Excuse me, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, here with Will T. Ray. Cheer. That's what we're doing.
I feel like I'm being muted. Like this,
you're not being muted. You're
shows
good.
With
I would not do that to you. I'm not about
Stat
that.
Stat Boy and Max Kellerman.
I'm not. I would never.
I'm
do
not
that
going
to
reference
you,
the name of the show.
I would
only
never.
One show matters here, and that's this one.
There you
USS.
Go,
bro.
Even though exactly. We're advocating for Jemele Hill right now,
and we all we will we further will into the show. Yeah, we will. Absolutely. But anyway, you know what I mean? It's the movement. The Washington Nationals.
CC. That's my girl, man. You know.
The Washington Nationals are down 2-1 to the Chicago Cubs. They're supposed to play today, but the game got postponed. So what's right now the Nationals offense hasn't looked good. So what's up with the Nats offense?
Dusty can't make them hit. I mean, everyone's out here complaining, saying Dusty Baker didn't make this decision, didn't make that decision.
Yeah.
Trey Turner's 0-10.
Yeah, Trey isn't having the best series.
Jason Worth hasn't gotten a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Worth shouldn't be in the lineup.
That's
one problem I have with Dusty.
That's debatable.
Jason Worth got hit yesterday, right? He had a single.
The guy.
He had a single.
That he was in Philly.
No, absolutely he wasn't.
No, not even close.
I mean, if you ask me, he shouldn't have gotten $120 million.
No. But he's important to the larger, locker room. He's important.
I guess
to the
that's a larger discussion. He's not the reason they're losing, though.
No, he's not the reason.
But isn't this a trend? Whether it's Matt Williams, Dusty Baker, it seems like the bats go away.
Like
somebody has, whether it's the batting coach, I don't know who it is, but
the
Nationals
coach, he's suspended.
Okay,
but right, this team has had one of the best offense in baseball. Period.
In the regular season. Yeah.
I mean, it's all about the individual.
You have to be able to prepare to get the team's best pitcher every night. Versus during the regular season, you're going to face some guys that you can probably.
Well, let's keep it 100. Like it's obviously it's stage fright to a certain extent, right? Because you got to look at Trey Turner. Trey Turner, I watched the bats like yesterday, and you can tell that Trey Turner is like pretty much. The pressure is getting to him. We're talking about a guy that all he has to do is touch the baseball. If he can get it on the ground, he can get an infield single. If he bunts, he can have a better opportunity to get on base. Because if he gets on base, that's a double. That's a double. So you can see players like Trey Turner pressing. You can see players like Jason Worth is just off. I don't want to keep blaming him. He's just off. Michael Taylor's having very good at bat. So I can't really fault him. I think he's played well, to be honest with you.
And you just hope Jason Wieters continues to get hit.
Okay, so that's it. Matt Wieters. So there you go. Matt Wieters is an issue. Like Matt Wieters, but he's an issue in Baltimore too when he was in Baltimore.
I mean, he's been inconsistent. I don't think we go into the postseason saying, okay, we're gonna have a consistent outing each game from Matt Wieters. He is what he is.
Yeah.
But Trey Turner is disappointing.
But look at
you expect.
Go ahead. Sorry, man.
You expect Daniel Murphy to hit, right?
Yeah.
Trey Turner. You expect Rendon to hit. Bryce can be inconsistent.
Daniel Murphy's always consistent.
Yeah, but he's not hitting well in this series.
But again,
you're
facing a really good pitching staff. What you have to expect
it's okay.
Going into the postseason.
I feel like this pitching staff is okay. There are others that are
better.
You
think the doctor is better. I know.
Yeah, but I mean, still, so I'm just saying, like, to me, it's not even about what they're going against because there's situational hitting that they're not even taking care of. Like, for instance, I'll give you an example when they had the error and I think Michael Taylor was on second base. Even as great as Scherzer pitched, you know, and he's normally good at putting down a bunt. He was unable to put down a bunt. You know, then, you know, Taylor goes to third with less than two outs. That's an opportunity for a sac fly or a ground out for a run. There's just things they're not doing correct. There are things they're not doing correctly to score runs. And it's a team. It's a team effort at it. You know what I mean? Now, Dusty can change the lineup, which he did do today. Dusty changed the lineup. And, I mean, obviously, the game got postponed. He was moving Jason Wirth to the two spot. And yes. Jason Wirth was hitting the two spot. Which, again, I mean, I'll give Dusty credit in that route because that's consistent to what he did in the regular season. And in the regular season, they had one of the better offenses in baseball, period. So in that regard, I'm like, okay, Dusty, I get it. Like, go what you know. Go with your – we all creatures of habit. This lineup works better when Jason Wirth or whoever at the two spot.
No, I know what I know. This lineup would be better if they had Wilmer Defoe in.
You really like Defoe.
I really do. I like what Defoe brings. He brings another guy with speed on the bag.
Why not play Robles? I think Robles would be better. I think Robles would bring more spark playing left field. And I think you wouldn't have to change that much around. Then you have more speed. You have a guy who plays good defense. I think that's a better fit to me. You put Robles at left. You still keep Taylor at – you got Taylor at center field. So your outfield now can run down anything. Then in the infield, you keep Turner. If you want to, you put Robles at the leadoff and move Turner down.
I don't know about touching Turner. I mean, I understand. Like, I understand that he's cold now, but he's been an impact guy who's comfortable hitting leadoff. Mm-hmm. So I would keep.
I think his job is on the line potentially.
His job isn't on the line.
I think it is now.
He'll be back.
I didn't think at first.
Who are you going to get?
I don't know. But
what's a better option?
I think what he's doing in this. My thing is what he's doing in this postseason, and we can go back to game. Sorry, was it game three? We can go back to game three. Like, some of the decisions weren't good managing this. Like, you don't – like, I even – when we decided to pitch to Rizzo, like, I thought it was just dumb. Like, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, Rizzo at the time had four RBIs already within the series at the time. You're pitching to their best player. Like, he's their best hitter. Like, you're going to pitch to their best player? See,
that's what I'm saying.
That makes no sense.
But from a different perspective, this is what I feel like the Nationals lack. We've had postseason after postseason. Buster Posey was one for us. You know you can't pitch to this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Who do the Nationals have that you know you can't pitch to? Right now.
Oh, you can't pitch. Oh, right now.
Right now.
Off reputation, it's supposed to be Harp.
It's supposed to be Harper, but it's not.
Harper and Murphy.
Murphy, to be real with you.
But it's not right
now.
No,
I get you. That's the problem. I get you.
You got to have your main guy step up, and that's been the biggest issue aside from Dusty. But again, Dusty, his lineups don't make sense.
Yeah, I don't have an issue.
You got to make adjustments.
Like, his lineups, I don't have an issue with because I feel like –
that's why I didn't want Dusty in the first place.
And I don't have an issue with his lineups. I think to me, the offense scored. Like, they were one of the best teams in baseball. So I'm not going to – I never knock his lineup card.
True, they scored. But if you really watched a lot of Nationals games, do you know there were stretches with his
team? Yeah, they didn't score. I know.
Didn't score a lot. Or they would score bunches and runs.
Yeah.
It wasn't consistent. It wasn't consistent hitting. Over the course of 9 innings,
Dusty built them like an American League team. Like the way he has lineup set up. I don't have once you can score 10 runs like as consistent as he did it for a stretch run. I have no issue with your lineup. I think because you still have the pitching to do whatever. My issue with Dusty is your in-game management. Like, I have issues with how you play, how you run your bullpen. Like, more than anything, that's my issue with Dusty.
If anything,
I didn't think he should take out Scherzer. I think Scherzer
deserved. Should have been came.
Well, some people do. I'm not arguing that, but I wouldn't cool having Scherzer. I trust Scherzer. Like, I would have Scherzer finish that out. But I understand the argument because he's coming off an injury, so I'm not going to knock it or whatever. But like, okay, Kinsler just got out. He just got a righty out. Okay, you got Rizzo behind him. I think it was I can't think of the batter behind Rizzo, but the dude wasn't even that thorough. There you go. So you walk Rizzo, have Kinsler go against Contreras. How do you say his name?
Contreras.
Yeah, Contreras. Get Kinsler go against Contreras, and you're good. Kinsler was the freaking closer in Minnesota, so you know he's used to high pressure situations. That's why it didn't make any sense. I'm saying, like, why would you pitch the Rizzo with Oliver Perez? I'm not knocking Oliver Perez, but Oliver Perez ain't that type of lefty. Like, we saw, like a Chapman to go after Rizzo. No.
Listen, it's easy for us to criticize Dusty now. But to me, the reason why this team has struggled mightily is because there's a lack of offense. Plain and simple. Like Ray said, Where are the guys who have that reputation for making hits and coming through? They have it. No one's
Bryce did in game two. He did.
So did Zimmerman.
Well, think about it like this. Through a three-game series, out of those three games, two games, you've had your top two starters, Strasburg and
pitch well. They pitch great.
Yeah, Strasburg and Scherzer. They pitch great.
Yeah.
They pitch shutout baseball up until, what, the sixth inning?
Yeah.
For both guys?
Yeah. No hit for a while, too.
No hits. And you haven't been able to generate any offense.
No, I agree.
That's not a Dusty thing. That's the player thing.
I think it goes – I mean, I think – to me, both of them – both – I guess both arguments have truth to it. You know what I mean? Like, I think Dusty, to me, to a certain extent, is not managing the game correctly, and the players aren't doing what they need to do to win games. And then, like, to your point, like, the team batting average is like 121. Like, 121? I think it's one of the worst ever in baseball, in baseball history. Go, sorry.
Nah, just real quick. Who is your leader in the clubhouse?
Jason Worth. It's
supposed to be Jason Worth.
I have an issue with it.
And did you hear what Dusty's gonna do now since it's rained out? What's gonna happen in Game 4? I mean, Game 4. Who's gonna pitch?
Not gonna be Tanner Roark.
Strasburg has already rested up.
Yeah, Strasburg is gonna get Game 5.
Strasburg's got the rest. Like he's got his normal day rest.
You gotta play desperate.
Like you got to. Like this
Cole
is amazing.
Red. Who said it?
You said Code Red on the text.
Yeah, I said Code Red. This is what a true Code Red in DC is.
But still, if it's cold,
Washington's football team.
Look, no, what you do is
a few good men,
start Strasburg in
this
game
is Code
four,
Red.
And then when you get a lead in Game 5, you bring his butt back in, just like Madison Bumgarner.
Exactly.
Eliminated the Nationals.
Exactly.
A few years ago. They use him every game if they had to.
Like
not
what's his name?
But you know,
like Kershaw. You gotta use them like Kershaw.
So
Dodge is great.
So what you guys are suggesting is you go with Strasburg Game 4,
and then the next night
you come back
as a closer.
Because closer, no, he pitches a closer.
Or Scherzer, I don't care. Somebody
Scherzer.
Who you
Look,
know.
Look, man,
will
I believe in like
need.
You believe in Scherzer, right?
Yes,
even if he's not well rested.
Well, I'll say this.
I don't care. I will go Scherzer in Game 5.
I'll say this with his mentality. I believe in Tanner Roark. He struggled. Now, don't get me wrong. He struggled down the stretch. But with his mentality, I know he isn't going to be phased. I know this isn't too big of a moment for him.
Man, Dusty acting
I'm not guaranteeing a victory.
Yeah.
But I say going into Game 4, Dusty. I'm not afraid to go into Game 4 with Tanner Roark on the
mound. This is an elimination game. We're talking about.
It's Code Red.
Trying to break a cycle pattern.
Jack Nicholson, Code Red.
I'm also frustrated with just the Major League Baseball playoff format still.
Are you 5 years?
Okay, Orioles fan who they made the playoffs twice but were eliminated for the one game playoff.
And they made it to the ALCS too.
Right,
but if you make it to the
NLDS is what? Best of 5.
Yeah, you wanted to
be
7?
To me, it's like you work this hard and you could be eliminated that quickly.
That's fair. You talking about for a wild card or are you talking about for a...
Yeah.
No,
I firmly
believe that you should cut the regular season back to 122, 140 games.
I like
you
the, I like the format.
And then, yeah, extended.
Seven games,
thank
seven
you.
Games.
I like the format.
This is why I don't like it because
I'm going to say why I like the format. But go ahead.
You technically really don't have a long-term advantage.
Yeah.
You play 162 games. You're conditioned to go long series.
Yeah.
And you're going to go a 5-game series to end the first round?
It used to be much worse. That's why I guess I like it.
Because
it used to be just like two teams and that was on each side.
No, I get it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so when I look at it now, I'm like, oh, this is good. Like, even like the wild card thing, I thought was like, okay, it makes baseball more exciting. Like, everything is, and I'm talking about the playing wild card. I'm not even talking about the actual, like, it used to be just the wild card.
But just think about it.
It's growth, but it's still. There's still room for improvement.
No, I agree.
But potentially Friday, we could have a Game 5 for everything here back in D.C. Friday night.
Right.
Yeah.
And then if they lose, then they go home after.
Your faith in Tanner Roark is amazing.
I have faith in Tanner Roark.
Dusty does too. You said that
again,
too. Dusty
Tanner Roark, he's been there. He's been, you know, one of your, one of your healthy, you know, starters throughout the course of the year.
He was really good last year.
I'm just saying he's been one of your guys. He's been one of your horses.
And then also,
but I just, for an elimination game, I don't want Tanner Roark as a fan.
But this is the thing, though. If Tanner Roark struggles early, you have a healthy you have a healthy and rested bullpen. So if he's shaky after
three innings, you got to get his butt out.
You got to go out of there.
With the bad offense we've seen, what is shaky? Do you take him out after 4 runs, 2 runs? What do you do?
After
If he gives up two early runs, he's out.
If he gets, yeah, if he gives because up two you, early you, runs, you're you gotta, not scoring you gotta, you gotta right now. It.
And then you're at Wrigley Field. But I feel like the Nationals should – you got to play desperate in this.
Absolutely.
Tanner Roark, to a certain extent, if you look at what he did with the World Baseball Classic,
yeah,
he pitched pretty well, like in clutch situations.
That's
clutch situation.
I'm not afraid.
But it's an exhibition.
4 o'clock tomorrow, baby. 4 o'clock tomorrow.
4:08.
Who in the
specific.
Bleep cares about the World Baseball?
Yeah, I was just trying to help out Tanner Roark, dog. I was just trying to help him out.
No.
It was a high pressure.
It was a high pressure situation.
Representing your country.
In baseball.
It's not the Olympics, though.
It's not the Olympics, but.
Yeah. This is not even.
Let me get a prediction.
A prediction?
Yeah, for tomorrow.
Man, this guy. I don't want
to
hear
it. Let me ask you, do you think it comes back to DC for game
one? I hope so.
Yes or no question?
Look at the smile on his face. This is cryptic. This dude he's out for blood. And it's all because of you, Will. I didn't make him hate the National. He always loves to see the National struggle, though. Because when they do, he likes to put it out there. But his Orioles were so bad down the stretch he couldn't say anything.
Well, I couldn't know because I'm trying to change the whole format of what we're doing right now. That's why I haven't talked about the Orioles anymore. I keep it 100, though. You know what I mean? But to Will's question, I would like to say five, I think there will be a game five. I believe in Tanner Roark.
Yeah, that's BS. I believe it's going to be a game five because I believe
you're not you believe it though.
I don't believe in Tanner Roark necessarily. I believe that the bats will come out. Same scenario last season, but unfortunately they went home in five. That's my concern.
Yeah, I hope they get past their first opponent.
Yeah, because playoff baseball is only here for a limited time every season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two to three games at best.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to my prediction. I still think the Nats.
Okay, which player stands out then tomorrow?
Tomorrow
for the Nats offensively.
Adam Lynn.
So Adam, you think Adam's going to play? Going to start?
No, he's not going to start.
He's going to pitch it.
Come off the bench.
I think Zimmerman's going to have a big game.
That's bull crap.
Zimmerman's been okay. He's been probably one of the better hitters for this team.
Yeah, but
in the postseason, he's in 250, like one of the highest averages on the team.
I think Trey Turner will snap out of his funk.
Okay.
Even though I like Daniel Murphy because he's Mr. Consistent.
All right, man. Anyways, it's about time for our Week 6 NFL picks. We'll make that after a break. You're listening to Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Later.
Call it how it is.
Oh man, you listen to Urban Sports Scene, myself, Wally, Will T. Ray, all in the building. What's good, folks?
Everything's good.
Everything's good. Ray, say your part, man.
I'm not messing with it.
Anyway, it's about time to make our NFL picks. But before we get to that, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have our NFL Pick'em challenge with them every week. What are you doing? Oh, you a jerk, dude. Every week.
Yeah, he has a lisp. I don't care what you say.
He has no lisp.
It's not as strong as, what's my man name from Notre Dame? The ex called Lou Holtz. It's not that bad.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible.
he does have a lisp.
No, he doesn't, man. Anyway, last week, Will T went 9-5. I went 8-6. Ray went 7-7. In comparison, Football Garbage Time, Joanne went 9-5. Hakun Wong went 7-7. And Scott went 10-4.
Wong strong.
And in our individual battle,
we both went 7-7.
In our individual battles, Will T's overall record, Will T is 45-32. Ray is 40-37. I'm 42-35.
I got a halo.
So do you have anything you want to say? Okay. You usually got something to say. All right, man.
I don't need to talk.
I got you. So let's get right into it. Week 6 games, Eagles versus the Panthers in Carolina. It's a Thursday night. Right, it's a Thursday night game.
It's a tough one.
You can go first, bro.
I mean, I'm a leader, so I'm always going to go first. Carolina's a 3-point has opened as a 3-point favorite.
And you talking about my picture's annoying?
I'm messing with you, man.
Don't listen to me, Will.
I'm still taking Philadelphia on the road Thursday night.
I'll take the Panthers.
I'm taking the Panthers as well. Bears versus the Ravens in Baltimore.
Baltimore is a 7-point favorite. Open as a 7-point favorite. They're down to 6.5 in some places. I'm going with Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm going with the Ravens.
There's no way I'm picking the Bears. Ravens.
Browns versus the Texans in Houston.
Give me the Texans. I'm not even going.
Give me my fantasy team defense, the Houston Texans, who scored a -3 this week.
Much appreciated.
Against the Chiefs.
Much appreciated.
Yes, sir.
Give me the Texans as well. Packers versus the Vikings in Minnesota.
I'm going with Green Bay.
Green Bay?
Green Bay is a three-point favorite.
Come on, stick to your thing, man.
Green Bay is a three. They opened as a 3.5-point favorite.
Ray?
I'm going with the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm going with the Vikings. Lions versus the Saints in New Orleans.
This is one of them games.
I love that statement.
No, it is.
Only if Jeff Fisher was the coach of one of these teams, we would get the classic Will T, right?
No, this is one of them games. New Orleans, a 4-point favorite at home. They're going up to 5 in some places, but I'm still going with Detroit.
I'm going with the Lions. Ray.
I'll take Drew Brizzle's at home, baby.
Dolphins versus the Falcons in the ATL.
Got the Saints.
Falcons are 9.5. They opened as a 9.5-point favorite. I'm going with the Falcons.
Give me the Falcons.
ATL all day.
Patriots versus the Jets in New York. What are you hunting about?
I want to do it. Go for it. Real people do real things. I do. I really want to do it.
Are you going to join the real people train?
Not today. I'm about to say. I'm going to the Patriots.
What the heck? I was like, why are you stressing this?
I got a feeling. Same feeling I had with Ohio State Maryland.
Yeah, because the Patriots. I know.
It was like, Maryland's going to be close in this game. They're going to probably lose. It's going to be close. I was like, you sure about that?
I didn't say close. I said it's not that bad. You know what? You're a real guy, man. You're now on the real people do real things train, man.
Give me the Patriots. I ain't real about nothing on that one. Give me the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking the Patriots. Real people do real things.
We all picked where I did the Redskins Niners game. Buccaneers versus the Cardinals in Arizona.
Give me Tampa Bay. Arizona.
Is Adrian Peterson going to be able to suit up?
Yeah, but he's traded. That's right. Adrian Peterson.
Is he going to be able to suit up this week?
Cardinals. Yeah, he should be able to.
I'm taking the Cardinals, which is ignorant, but I'll do it because I hate the Cardinals. It's so inconsistent. It's ridiculous. But Carson Palmer, Adrian Peterson.
I got Adrian Peterson on my fantasy football team. I feel like I'm going against them. But now I got to go with the Bucks. I'm going with the Bucks. I'll take the Cardinals, man.
I mean, the Bucks are okay, but they look shaky against the Patriots.
This is a tough one right here. Rams versus the Jaguars at Jacksonville. That? You already did. It's too late.
At Jacksonville?
It's not too late. Right. It's not too late. I'm joking with you.
That's what you did to Will T. You wouldn't let him change his pick, and it worked out.
Thanks.
He's now ahead of us even further because of you. So, thank you. Go ahead. Lock my pick. That's fine. My pick is locked.
It's at Jacksonville, man. It's at Jacksonville. I ain't messing with you.
I'm going with Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a 2.5
point favorite. You got to make sure you say it, man. That's your thing. That's your thing. What's up?
The NFL is week to week. That's what we say, right? Yeah. I'm just going to go with the Rams just because of that reason. It might be dumb, but you know what? I'm not playing to win this pick thing this year.
Like,
you should.
Jackson. That's Eric. That's you talking about me.
It doesn't bother me, though. This is BS.
I want to pick the Rams, but Jacksonville runs the ball well. And the Rams don't stop.
I lost to Hakun Wong. I ain't tripping off that. Or Will T. I ain't tripping off that.
Go ahead, man. I'm taking Jacksonville, man. Fournette, man. My fancy football.
I'm going to take the Rams just because Gurley.
Gurley a beast, though. He'll be.
Like I said,
this is my matchup.
This is what Jacksonville does. This is my matchup. This is what they do. They lost to the Jets.
That's true.
Lost to the freaking Jets.
This is my matchup, though. Great Wally running back.
I think Jacksonville will be able to run the ball.
Jacksonville's defense.
They will be able to run the ball. They will run the ball. The Rams have been giving up yardage on the run, so they can run.
I'll change my pick. I'll pick Jacksonville. I'm going safe with that one.
Steelers versus the Chiefs in Kansas City. I know who I'm choosing.
Steelers at 3.
No, they
give me Kansas City. Kansas City a 3-point favorite at home. Give me Kansas City.
Kansas City. I got Kansas City. I'm taking the Chiefs. Big Ben don't look good anymore.
No, he looks like he wants to retire.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, he should, but real people do real fucking things.
Steelers. All right, Ray got the Steelers. Chargers versus the Raiders in Oakland.
Alex Smith gets destroyed.
He won't, though. He's MVP.
Yeah. He didn't get one before Matty Ice, so that don't matter.
It's okay.
They're the same player. Give me Oakland.
Ray?
I'm going with Oakland.
I'm going to take the Chargers. I always do.
I don't trust the Chargers, man. They annoy the heck out of me. I'm gonna take the.
Damn. And Carr's gonna play this game right here too.
I'm gonna take the Raiders.
He might play.
I'm gonna take the Raiders.
Now I'm sticking my pick. Giants versus the Broncos.
Denver is a 9. They opened as a 9.5.
I'm never picking the Giants. 12 points. Except against the Skins. Places. That's the only time I pick the Giants.
Give me Denver.
Yeah, give me Denver all day.
Give me Denver as well. Colts versus the Titans in Tennessee.
I'm going to go with the Colts this week.
Colts? I'm going with Colts as well. It's Matt Castle, the quarterback. Right?
Yep, exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Colts. Ray, this is a good time for you. The Colts, man. This is you. You can pick them again.
I'll take the Colts.
That's what I'm talking about.
Ray. I always pick the Colts.
Yeah, I know you.
But except for last week, I picked the dumb 49ers. And look how that turned out.
See, you're back now.
Should have stuck with my guy, Super Daryl. What's the deal,
Pickle? Anyway, we'll continue our Jamel Hill talk after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces. Poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this. Immaculate conception, I transform like this. Perform like this, what shouts you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness, I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got troublesome heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine, and it's like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side. Jellyfish, I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I've been through probably offend you. This is Barla's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead, redemption, scholars, fathers, dead, with kids, and I was.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Team, myself, Wally, Will T, Ray. We were going to talk about the FBI probe, you know, within the NCAA, but like last week, we went a little too far. We're going to get into our talk about Jamel Hill some more, because obviously this topic is very important to the movement. Right, Will? It's for the culture, man.
Not just to the culture or to the movement, but to free speech. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand why ESPN suspended her, because they have a social media
policy,
and she violated that policy coming off of violating it prior to like 3 or 4 weeks.
But did they do that with Sage Steele? could stay still.
She got a warning about her.
But she was very consistent in terms of what she did. Like she did it a lot though.
She got a warning.
She did it just as much as Jermell.
No, I can't.
But she doesn't tweet it though. She says it on air. She doesn't.
No, she got tweeted. No, it was tweeted. She used to tweet a lot.
She tweeted the one joint about the Black Lives Matter rally.
Yeah, she did Instagram and she talked about in terms of how one of the things how black people hate on each other, like with how her
Jermell, he was very opinionated.
No, I'm just saying Sage still has been very opinionated as well. I'm just saying like she is very opinionated on social media.
Well, this is the thing though. She just came off of what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, them talking to her.
That's right? True. No, I get you.
And mm-hmm. then you go ahead and you violate that one that shows disrespect to my authority.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand why they did it.
Mm-hmm.
But well, also I think ESPN is in a delicate situation where you have to balance commerce with journalism and the right of free speech.
Yeah. My issue is you are obviously attacking the president in the midst of what the NFL is going through with our president. So again, you have to learn from your mistakes. But I believe that for Jermell Hill, what she tweeted out
mm-hmm.
was an automatic thought for her.
Yeah.
So she wasn't thinking about this is my employer. She's just thinking this is how I feel about this subject. I don't think she really meant to disrespect ESPN.
No.
But to ESPN's point, we just promoted you. You got two shows. We're putting you on the forefront on, you know, our major network. When I say major in comparison to ESPN2 or whatever, but SportsCenter 6 is Mike and Jermell.
Yeah.
I mean, they're featuring her quite frequently now. And, you know, if you're going to be the face of our network, one of the faces, then you have to represent us in a way that does not go against some of, you know, the values that help build ESPN.
But my thing about even
not taking political stance on every single thing.
But even her top, even what she said, though, she said in terms of the people who are angry about what's going on, what you can do is boycott. What you could do is boycott the advertisers and the Dallas Cowboys. She didn't say do it. She said if you are angry.
Let me ask this question.
Go ahead. The thing, though, I think people are so brainwashed now, they won't even realize exactly what Jerry Jones is doing. They're so blind. Their fandom for football won't allow them to think independently of exactly uh-huh. what's going on. He's basically evading people's civil liberties.
Yeah.
The right to protest, peacefully uh-huh. protest.
Uh-huh.
Just because it's disturbing your commerce. Like, that's crazy to me.
I mean, the NFL is talking. You heard they're talking about changing a policy around.
Yeah, they don't change a policy.
And Goodell's just trying to keep his job. But
I don't think they can necessarily.
Here's the thing.
I think they can. They'll do that. They're gonna try. They're gonna put a rule in.
There's nothing that Morris Smith is going to be able to do about this because they have to follow the policies within that book.
No, but what's going
to
happen is just like with Tom Brady, just like with
Ben Roethlisberger.
Ezekiel Elliott, it's gonna go up, you know, to like the Supreme Court, and then what's gonna happen is it won't fly.
No, because it's still freedom of speech. I'll tell you this. How do you think an owner or owners will react if the players unite? The players haven't really been able to unite.
I agree.
If the players unite mm-hmm. and say, listen, this is what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
We're gonna take a knee.
Mm-hmm.
Were you going to suspend all of them? Do you really,
I agree.
Do you really think Jerry Jones will suspend Dez Bryant?
I totally agree with you.
Dak Prescott.
Butler. Totally agree.
Tyron Smith. DeMarcus Lawrence.
Uh-huh.
And the Irving kid. And Jalen Smith. All the African-American players, if they decide to take a knee.
What matters to you more if you're Jerry Jones? The advertisers and the sponsors or the fans? Because the fans are going to come to see some replacement guys if you follow through with what you said you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to lose fans, but you're still going to have these companies that you named earlier, Bank of America,
mm-hmm.
AT&T. You said Dr. Pepper. Mm-hmm. But going back to Jermell Hill, Jermell Hill though, mm-hmm. can Jermell Hill make it without ESPN is the question. The reason why I say this is because care if you're Tony Kornheiser or you're Bill Simmons. They say what the heck they want, and they don't care if ESPN less than because they know that they have their own brand. They're bigger. But Jermell Hill right now seems like, I'm not going to take a stance because I need ESPN. Where there are a lot of other journalists who, another one, Rick Rowley, they know that they're big enough that they can say what the heck they want. They're going to do them. And if you want me, even Scott Van Pelt. Scott Van Pelt has been open, like, I'll leave ESPN. He's been open with his criticisms. Even as they gave him a promotion, what you see at night, SportsCenter is Scott Van with SVP.
Yeah.
But he said he don't like the way, he don't feel like he was given an equal opportunity on radio to speak his mind.
I'll say this. Skip Bayless, too. If you're in a position that, if he was, I'm not going to say the position they're in. Think of us, right? Mm-hmm. We're three guys in the studio who have an opinion about sports football. Yeah. The reason why you do this, why you give your opinion, is because you want to be heard.
Exactly.
Where can you be heard? In mass. At ESPN. Mm-hmm. So if you do make the decision to take a stance to say, I don't need ESPN. I have that much of a talent where I'll be heard independently. I don't necessarily think that's the right way you go about thinking about this, because you want your voice to be heard. You want your opinion to be heard.
There's other platforms.
Don't get me wrong, there are other platforms, there are other outlets, but this is the most popular platform where you can.
Or one of the
one
most.
One of the most.
Because FX, FS1 is coming
out. Your opinion can be. No one listens to FS1.
Oh,
no one
people, they watch Undisputed. They do.
It's
watch
growing. Yeah, Colin's growing.
Believe me, it is growing. It is growing, bro. That's what I'm saying. Like, there is a. Especially for the layoff, the ESPN layoff, a lot of these individuals went to, like.
Trust me. And here's the thing. Yes, when you watch, you see, you don't watch a lot of pregame shows, right, Will? Because you wake up late.
Yeah.
Or you make a breakfast.
I wake
whatever.
Up early.
Whatever you're doing. Whatever. You always sleep, though.
But I'm not always sleep. I take
like,
naps.
You watch Super Bowl now, I was asleep.
I was.
Exactly.
I fall asleep during football. Unless I'm going to a bar to watch a game, if I'm sitting in the house watching a game, I'm going to go to sleep.
All right. Well, for whatever reason, you don't watch pregame. But, okay, what's one of the more popular pregame shows? Fox, right?
Yeah, Fox.
Okay, now you see Michael Vick's part of it.
Yeah.
Skip Bayless is part of it. Colin Cowherd. They're incorporating guys into their popular pregame show so you can watch these guys during the week.
And
trust me, they are right there on ESPN's heels. ESPN knows it. Why you think First Take is on ESPN now, not on ESPN2?
Yeah, and then,
why do you think Mike and Mike is about to be over with? Because they're trying to rebrand themselves.
And I think I think Undisputed may be doing better than First Take in terms of rating wise.
No, it's not numbers wise. They're close.
They're very close. I'm sorry.
And they're making smart moves. You notice that, and this has been the way since Undisputed started.
Yeah.
Undisputed starts a half hour before First Take. My point is, now listen guys. Let me give you the scenario real quick. We talk about sports. We've been doing this for X amount of years. Let's say we are on ESPN eventually, right? If ESPN says you can't say this, we're going to suspend you, are we scared to go back to doing this? We did it for so long. That's my question. Are you scared?
Absolutely not.
Now we have more of an established brand.
Are we established already?
We're going to be at the time. Obviously, if we're on ESPN. Uh-huh. Can we go back to this and still have supporters and still have?
I think so.
Jemele Hill.
I think everyone.
Are you going to be corporate? Are you gonna? You gonna be revolutionary?
I think everyone does it for different reasons. I don't know why you guys do it. I do it because I want one. I enjoy doing it. Support a friend.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate it.
Then also, I have an opinion when I want to be heard.
Yeah, I like shooting the breeze.
So I just want my voice to be heard. I don't. If I have a thought, I want to articulate it, no matter if it will get me in trouble or not. The only thing when it comes to during the show, Wally has asked me not to curse. Everything else, I'm going to say what's on my mind. Just that simple.
That's my point. So let's say, again, we're offered a show on ESPN.
I'm going to say what's on my mind.
Exactly. And they say, okay, you can't do that here. You okay with coming back to this? That's my point. So Jemele Hill clearly is like, no, this is what's paying my bills. I'm not going to mess with them.
Yeah, she likes all Michael Smith.
And Michael Smith didn't even – he boycotted the show because, she
got clout. And he has clout. Michael Smith has more clout than you. He has more clout. He's a writer. Yeah, Michael Smith has been in the game. Again, he's somebody that won't – if he left ESPN, he can go to Fox Sports.
In my opinion, ESPN feels like they hold the cards in the case of Jemele Hill.
Yeah.
We made you who you are.
Yeah.
Nobody knew who Jemele Hill was until the sports reporters.
That is true.
They didn't make her.
Well, I mean, if she went to school, she worked hard to get there, yes.
No, yeah.
But I didn't know who Jemele Hill was until I saw her on the sports reporters. That's real talk.
Yeah, you a jerk.
I mean, no, that's true, but then it all boils down to your belief system.
Yeah, her talent. I mean, her talent was good enough, though.
If you don't want to be censored, then
roll out. Then leave.
I am a believer, though. I do think she's known enough that, and
she has an established brand.
So she's established enough that she can leave. She'll still be popular.
There you go.
I'm a believer in that.
I think so too.
I don't think that ESPN, and I think ESPN does value her, to be real with you. She reaches to a particular demographic.
They value, if you look at what ESPN has done over the last 3 to 4 years, it's all about diversity. It's
exactly.
About diverse opinion.
True.
It used to be when you listened to sports talk radio or you watched ESPN, it was all middle-aged or younger white men.
That's true. Right? So that's a fact.
But now you look at the diversity. You have Bomani Jones. You have Dan Le Batard. Yeah. You have Stephen A. Smith. Mm-hmm. You have Max Kellerman. So there's a variety. You know, it's just not one voice that you're hearing predominantly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why people gravitate. There's a certain demographic that hates it.
Of course, yeah, we know that.
And I think there's an underlying issue why they hate it.
The late Stuart Scott had to deal with it all the time.
Yeah, there's an underlying issue why they hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the general public, they've been accepted to it. They've mm-hmm. been accepting to it.
Now that's real talk.
We got to close. I'm telling you, it's a lot of thoughts I have on it because, you know, when you mention Bomani Jones.
Overtime with the Urban Sports say.
When you mention Bomani Jones is one that's very vocal on social media.
He's very vocal.
He speaks out on social issues all the time. And they're trying to say you're walking a fine line when you start trying to give fans suggestions. You know, what it boils down to, again, and this is that's the driving force, is money. ESPN is like, no, we're not going to lose sponsorship. We're not going to lose, contracts and partnerships because one of our employees wants to drive people away with her views on social issues or the country. Mm-mm. Not going to do it. They suspended Stephen A., and they like him. He's a value commodity, but they suspended him when he said women sometimes give you a reason to hit them after the Ray Rice video came out. Like, sometimes women do this and do that, and they suspended him.
I remember.
And the reason why he didn't fight that, right?
When he said that,
and he didn't fight it because he knew he made a serious mistake in how that came across, right?
He thought he was talking to his homies. That's why.
And he almost called LeBron an N-word. Sometimes he forgets where he is.
Yeah, he forgets where he is.
But the thing is, dude, it's crazy, man. ESPN picks and chooses, though, man. That's the thing about
that's
be
my point.
Consistent. That's the only
thing. They do pick and choose.
Because when we had the whole N-word discussion, and look, Jason Whitlock, he leaves it often.
Yeah.
He's been at least two or three times, and he's left.
Yeah.
Jamel Hill needs to leave. That's the conclusion.
She can leave. And she'll do well. I'm confident she'll do well.
They clearly have a problem when certain people speak up. Michael Wilbon can say the N-word on air.
This country has a problem when certain people speak up. Let's just look at the protests, right?
Yeah.
African American Colin Kaepernick speaks up over an issue that is predominantly that affects minorities, predominantly African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Now the issue now it's become first it was just taking a knee because of protesting the mistreatment by the police, not just white police, but all police against African Americans.
Uh-huh.
Then the argument has come: you're disrespecting the soldiers. Then you're disrespecting the flag. You know, it's people. Whenever African American, whenever minorities in general speak up, those that are considered the majority have a problem, and they always try. And if there's really a real issue, they'll always try to shift that issue to something else.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you, man. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf is a prime example. That man was basically standing up for what he believed in, you know, from a spiritual perspective. And according to our Constitution, right, he has that right.
Yeah.
But when the overwhelming majority didn't want to hear about that, they got rid of him.
And they blackballed him.
And that's unfortunate. Again, it's an ongoing discussion.
Anyway, man, it's about time to wrap the show up. And it was a blessing to do the show. Will, to you, anything? Any parting shots? Any like
45 and 32. That's all I'm saying.
Rain parting shots about Mike Mayock and me.
You got the mic in your hand.
Anyway, you been listening to Urban Sports Say.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
And Mecca, lead us out, big homie.